More than 5,000 Hoosiers have now died from COVID-19. While state officials have tried to slow the spread of the virus, some health experts say it wasn't enough. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Barbara Anguiano reports on the state's steps and missteps on the path to this latest grim milestone.
To put that number in perspective, 5,000 people is enough to fill about 25 Boeing 737s. 5,000 people was also the size of the student body at Butler University in 2017. Indiana saw its first COVID-19 case in early March and its first death 10 days later. By the end of the month, Governor Eric Holcomb had issued a stay-at-home order. In May, he announced the Back on Track plan, meant to ease the state into reopening. Slowly but surely, restrictions were lifted. The state was supposed to reach Stage 5 by the 4th of July, but it wouldn't be until late September when,
because of the progress that we've made, we'll be able to move on to Stage 5 of our Back on Track plan.
Dr. Rob Yoletti is with Community Health Network in Marion County. Yoletti led the team that treated Indiana's first COVID patient. He says when COVID first exploded throughout the state, his concerns focused on inadequate staffing, PPE, ventilators, and testing. Yoletti says while the state managed to get supplies sorted out, staffing remains a problem.
The thing that I lose sleep over is that there'll be no hospital bed available in the city of Indianapolis because we're overwhelmed, because we don't have enough staff. The problem we're going to face this time, Barbara, from before, is that if building a field hospital won't work because we won't have any nurses to staff it.
While the state worked out logistical issues to get supplies where they were needed, health experts tell us it fell short with its one-size-fits-all approach to communications, contact tracing, and enforcement of mandates, especially in many rural and minority communities. Brian Dixon with the Regenstrief Institute says many of these communities were already dealing with disparities and inequities that were exacerbated by the pandemic. He says, pandemic or not, the state should have had established working relationships with community organizations and groups that know the needs of those communities to help address these problems.
I think the state could have done a better job in helping local health departments put restrictions in place when things got bad in that area, that the state is advising them to do so, but not necessarily helping them with enforcement as much as they could.
Representation matters in public health too, according to Dixon. He says enlisting the help of healthcare liaisons already in those communities can streamline processes like contact tracing and translating information to cater to the needs of communities these workers already know. Dixon says this also applies to mask mandates. He says the state could have done more to communicate the strategies and importance of wearing a mask. The confusion over whether or not masks should be used only made things more complicated for these communities that were already feeling the brunt of the pandemic.
If we would have been able to have policies like universal mask mandate earlier in the cycle, and people realized that it was important, and if they violated it, there would be a consequence, then I do think we'd be in a better position.
The state recently implemented new guidelines to slow the spread of the virus. Counties in harder hit areas must follow additional regulations. As deaths from COVID-19 continue to rise, Dr. Rob Yoletti with Community Health dreads the next several weeks. Based on his projections, he's waiting on the day he won't have enough staff to deal with the rising number of hospitalizations.
Not trying to say the sky's falling, but I do lose sleep over that. That's a very real catastrophic possibility in the next few weeks.
In the next few weeks.
Yeah, by December and by Christmas time.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Barbara Anguiano.